Today on the Cool Games, we are talking about World Cup ticket prices again because Pep Guardiola has something to say. We are all looking forward to this World Cup, or at least we thought we were. So we try to figure out and parse and figure out how can we navigate this tournament this summer.
And can I find the silver lightning? lightning. We'll find out. Also, Christian has the opportunity to talk to Weston McKennie yet again because he loves us just so much. I couldn't make the interview because I was in the bathroom. And then the third segment, we talk about Champions League. Which fan base really wants to win this thing? Guess which team I say. That and more today on the Cooligans. So my grandmother-in-law has dementia. She also fell and broke her hip and her arm. So everyone thought she's a little over 90 years old. I don't know if she's like 90, 91, 92. Mm-hmm. But everyone thought like this a rap for Nan. You know what I mean? This is the one who was mean to me. This was the one who said...
you feel nothing about this.
I mean, you know what it is? Like, you ever meet those people who are like mean to you and that's the way that they show you love? Like when you're not in the room, they like will defend you to the death. But when you're there, they kind of shit on you. Like she was the one who told Donna not to change her last name because she'd never, quote, get a job because she has a Spanish last name. This lady, you know what I mean? But she would call me the Puerto Rican to my face. Mm. But everyone to the T would say, if anyone talked bad about me, she literally would be like, put a knife to them. No one talks about Alexi. That's what she calls me.
Right.
You know, so she's one of those people. She doesn't know how to show love. She grew up in a different time, a different era.
This is how we rationalize these people.
Yeah, but she's not, look, to her core, not a bad person.
Gotcha.
Okay? But whatchamacallit. So now she has dementia. She broke her arm, broke her hip. But, yo, they did all the tests, and they're like, yo, she's strong as a bull. She's going to be alive for another 10 years. Yeah, she's suffering through dementia. She doesn't remember everyone. Sometimes she's like forgets to eat or whatever. So you will need to take care of her. But they're like, we're probably going to end up doing the surgery because she's in physically good health. We can't see a reason to not do the surgery. Mm. So now she's I don't know if it's like a nursing home. It's like a rehab center, right? So Donna wanted to go see her. It was her birthday this week. And I was like, I don't want to go. I don't like going to hospitals. I don't like going places like this. I don't like seeing death. You know what I mean? I don't like seeing people struggle. It's not my thing. You know what I mean? So I told her, I was like, I got no reason. This ain't my grandma. You know what I mean? I got no reason to go. But I could see that it was a difficult situation for my wife. So I did what any good husband would do. I said, I'll drive you. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. You're not really making yourself look that good. I don't know where this story's going.
I'm
going
to drop you off. It's about to get worse. I said, I'll drive you and I'll be there with you. You know what I mean? I'll go with you because I don't want you to have to do this on your own, even mm-hmm. though she knows. She's like, you don't have to go. Don't worry about it. I was like, no, I'll go. So we get there, we park, we're walking past the front of the building. It's in Jersey. The front of the building is the, what do they call it? The physician's parking, the doctor's parking. Mm-hmm. It's in the front. The first car I see is a BMW, beautiful BMW. I say, oh, that's a nice car. Second car I see is a little bit of a older model, beat up Nissan SUV. I look at the sign, it says physician's parking.
Right.
I look back at the car, it's an old beat up.
You don't think a physician has this car?
I said, yo, we got to get her out of here. You know what I mean? She's not going to live. Yo, your doctor
because
got an
of
old
the car.
Your
wow.
doctor got an old beat up Nissan.
Mm.
Nah, dog. I'm not saying it needs to be a Bugatti, but come on, throw a late model BMW. Something. Show me you've done well in your life and you haven't lost a couple malpractice suits.
If your theory is if you have a better car, you are a better doctor.
I'm just assuming you're working more. You know what I mean?
Maybe
you're not a little worried.
Maybe you're saving your money. It's. I always go back to how. What was it? Conan O'Brien would drive like a Ford Sebring or something like that?
No. And first of all, Sebring is a Chrysler.
Okay.
He drove a Ford Taurus SHO. Some people call it the show, right? Delivery's happening behind me.
Yeah, it's all good.
No worries. The joke is that it's an old Ford Taurus. It's the most high-powered performance car of its era.
Mm.
That Ford Taurus SHO was faster than the Ford Mustang in that era. It was faster than a Ferrari in, I think, 0-60. So while, yes, it's a Ford Taurus, so it's a joke, and he kept driving it forever, it's a manual Ford Taurus SHO. It's, like, extremely rare. The point is, if you had an accountant and you saw your accountant was driving a hoopty, you'd be like, I gotta get a new accountant. No?
This is I do not share this. My dad, before he passed, was a mechanic.
Right.
Never refused to buy new cars.
This is totally different. A mechanic. Always. A mechanic knows how to work on their cars.
Always had like beat up cars. Always looked for he every time we would say, even if the car had trouble, we'd be like, oh, let's just get a new car. He's like, no. We'll get an old one, fix it up. Never spend the money on a new car.
You understand the difference between a mechanic who works on cars.
Yes, I am.
Driving an older car.
But I'm saying.
And a physician that you are trusting your loved one's life with.
Maybe this physician has a hobby as fixing cars. People like fixing cars.
An old Nissan SUV?
I don't know.
If you're going to fix up a car, it's not that one.
I could care less what car people drive.
This crazy.
Just do your job. What does that have to do with being a doctor?
I said, yo, Nan. Nan would have never put up with this. Get Nan out of here. We got to get her out of here.
I mean, yeah, you are interested in the facade. The outside looks like somebody's living a rich lifestyle. Therefore,
buddy, show me you've done well in your life. Show me you're a good doctor.
There are wealthy people that have horrible lives and do awful things. But on the outside, it all looks great.
Of course.
But there's wealthy people that are also bad at their job.
Yeah, of course. This got nothing to do with wealth. As a doctor, you're probably, at worst, you're making a good living as a doctor.
And you're also hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt most of the time.
You gotta, that means you're a new doctor. You're pulling up in your college car? Get out of here. You're not allowed to touch my grandmother-in-law. Unless, you gotta show me the keys to your car. If I see, you gotta be whipping a foreign.
I like it. Like, don't, you're not allowed to touch my racist grandmother-in-law.
Hey, look.
Damn, bro. What?
It's racist, but in a loving way. How else can you explain
now she
it?
Now she calls you the Peruvian, bro. Yeah.
I'm working my way up.
I don't know what. Okay, well, I'm out of all this, I just hope your grandmother-in-law is okay.
Yeah, that's so do it. I, especially with Nissan driver over there. Running at her with a scalpel.
I don't know what's wrong.
I can't have it.
Nissan makes bad cars. I don't know. They make fine cars.
Yeah. First of all, Ingrid got one. That tells you everything you need to know. Yes, they make bad cars.
Okay,
dude. You pull up in a late model, beat up Nissan. Nah, I can't have you. That I hope somebody misparked. I hope somebody.
Maybe it's
a
nurse's car. Or yeah, something.
But why are you parking in the physician? Let me know a nurse won a competition, then I'll feel better. You won the right to park in the doctor's parking spot.
All right. Okay, there it is. Alexis,
wonderful person,
you drive a crap car.
Bro. I'm not running at your grandmother
now I'm self-conscious about my Honda CRV. I don't know.
It's a beautiful car, by the way.
Okay.
But also, I'm not hiring you to do surgery on it. If I was going to get a BBL and I saw him pull up in my car or your car, I'd say, I'm not making it. I'm still getting the BBL.
Okay.
But I'm not making it anyway.
Why don't you get a big old fancy car? What's your deal?
Because I park it in New York.
So
what the hell?
Damn, bro, you live in New York and you don't got a fancy car?
Absolutely not. Having a fancy car in New York makes no sense. I learned that in the 2 years that I had a fancier car. Makes no goddamn sense.
Okay. Anyway, this has been Top Gear with Alexis and Christian. Welcome to the Coolians, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, it is. And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We got a hot show today. Because, I mean, the closer we get to the World Cup, the hotter and hotter the guests are becoming.
How are you going to put up with this?
I don't know. How
you're going to melt. You're going to melt.
It is. Everybody who's in it, your ears are just literally burning right now with how hot this show is. On today's show, coming back after he had such a great time a couple weeks ago. He's like, I got to get back on the show. The one and only Weston McKennie is joining
us. He comes down so much, I didn't even show up for the interview.
That's right. Alexis wasn't available. But I spoke to him about the two friendlies that the U.S. just played and a couple things going on at Juve and a couple projects that he's working on as well. So Weston McKennie will be talking to him in just a little bit, but we'll be chatting some FIFA ticket prices, some comments from Pep Guardiola about FIFA ticket prices, and also a little preview of Champions League semifinals
this
week.
Pep said that they should be more expensive. What a shock.
You know what? I think he said the opposite.
Yeah. Messi, Xavi, Haaland, Lewandowski, they've all taken Pep's advice. If Pep calls, they pick up. Now Pep is trying to give FIFA advice.
Football is for the fans. Fans are the key.
Will FIFA listen?
This is the top topic.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I mean, it's now, but it's getting to a point where now everyone is, they're asking for everyone's opinion,
the
right?
The closer we get, the more this is becoming a topic for everyone right, in world football.
Because everybody's trying to make a case or just kind of raise awareness about ticket prices and everything. And it's the hope is that something can change as we get closer. Maybe there's like an allotment of tickets that are a little bit more affordable or something along those lines. But it's clearly just such a big issue that it gets to a point where, like, at a press conference for an FA Cup semifinal, they're like, "Yo, Pep, what do you think about this?" Because there's
right. You're not a national team coach. And you're not an American, or Mexican or Canadian. But let me ask you about the World Cup that's happening over there. In particular, this becomes a big issue because it feels like everyone wants to get on record as saying, like, "Yo, I'm not with it." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think the difficult thing is, like, asking South Americans or Europeans or, you know, even people in, like, Asia or Africa about the World Cup in the States doesn't make a lot of sense because I don't think they have the same context that we do, which is, if you walk around New York City, would you even know, if you didn't know anything about soccer, walking around New York, every time we come here to the studio in Midtown, in the midst of where all the action is for stuff like this, would you have any clue that a World Cup is coming to the United States in less than 2 months?
No, I mean, I because I'm sometimes, I live outside of New York City, but like sometimes if I take New Jersey Transit, when you get to Secaucus, you see there's a bunch of signage there.
Right.
I play soccer in Brooklyn.
The importance there is Secaucus is
with the hub.
Is the hub to get to the
stadium.
So
there's some, I mean, but in Manhattan proper, in New York City proper, you really don't see much of anything.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's disappointing.
I text my friends in LA and they said, there's some, if you know where to look, like some bars have like showing all the World Cup, like the banners they get from the liquor sponsors. I asked my buddy who lives in Kansas City, he said there's some banners up in downtown, but other than that, not really. And my point is, the U.S. isn't like everywhere else. And I don't know how Canada and Mexico probably is treating it with a little bit more fanfare than we are currently, right? Because it just, the sport means a little bit more to the nation. But in the rest of the country, the rest of the world, for most of the world, if the World Cup's coming, it's like everyone is on the same page. You know, whoever's running the transit system versus the people who are managing hotels, everyone's on board with the World Cup's coming. The World Cup's coming. The U.S. is treating this no differently than a Beyonce concert. And by the way, I'm not okay with that. I'm saying it's frustrating as two people that have made their careers in soccer, talking about soccer, talking about football, making this important. It's important to us. We talk about it every day on the show. But unfortunately for the rest of the country, they're just like, how do we make money on this? Oh, so all they know is a bunch of people are coming here. That's all they care about. It doesn't matter. It could be a tractor pull. It could be a concert.
To make a bunch of money, who are you referring to? Like the cities?
Like
or the
municipalities, the people who run hotel groups, Airbnbs. Everyone's like, how am I going to get my piece of the pie? Because this country doesn't have the things that other countries have, like, you know, society having a fair sort of equitable, split of any of the money. Everyone has to find a way. You got to make, if you ran a bar near a venue where the World Cup was going to be held, you'd have to be like, bro, we're upping the price of the beers because we're going to have all these people and they're not going to have anywhere else to go. If I owned a house with maybe three or four car parking near the, where the World Cup final is going to happen, I'd be like, bro, I'd put a sign on my lawn that says $100 parking. Park your car right here, baby. I'll watch it.
Sure.
Because everyone else, we could talk about the politics of capitalism or whatever. We could talk about all that, probably on the Patreon. But at the end of the day, it's like everyone's trying to get their cut. This isn't like a, yay, America's hosting the World Cup. It's, oh, we have a big event happening here. How can we get money?
I mean, I would attribute that. Look, I think I can only speculate, but you know, with a president and administration that we have, that is going to be the priority, right?
I think that would happen with anybody.
I actually don't think so, because it seems to be highly, highly prioritized. Like the at least that focus of like everybody getting their cut. That's, it feels like. I mean, Trump and his family and everybody, that seems to be like their focus out of being in this current administration.
Absolutely.
So why would they treat the World Cup any different?
But I think across the board, I think like if you're a deli and, you know, you sell chicken sandwiches and you're near the stadium,
yeah.
You're probably going to up your price. I agree with you on what's happening from the top down is not great.
Greed is trickling down.
That's, sure. But I feel like
that's my issue.
I feel like it's hard to explain to Europeans that like America doesn't do it that way. And it's a shame. You know, when we were in Germany and we got a ticket to go see, I believe this was the Dusseldorf match.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was the Frankfurt, Eintracht Frankfurt match. And we had to take the train to the stadium. Your ticket to the game was a free ticket on the train. Yeah. That would never happen because the MTA is like, oh, we can make more money now because you got all these people going area. Look, now.
There's some, like, I'll offer some sympathy to the municipalities because clearly the cost of moving, you know, 80,000 people somewhere costs more, right?
Yeah,
you need more staff. You need so I understand that
and
there's
you have
cost
to hire
there.
More police officers.
Yeah, but and the government. Budgeting should allow to give these cities the money that they need to do these things. I don't
believe it or not, it's in the quote unquote big beautiful bill that for the World Cup, these municipalities should be getting additional funds.
Right. I mean,
whether that's actually happening or not is up to
that's the thing.
It's
like,
up to dispute.
We know what was going on at Foxborough, and the Foxborough like city council wouldn't approve the license for FIFA to use the stadium because they didn't have the $8 million that they needed to hire security. So I would imagine,
and Robert Kraft just wrote a check, which is that that's not. Why look, Robert Kraft, who cares, right? You don't need the money. But why are you doing that?
Exactly. And that's the main issue. But the bigger I think concern even from these companies or groups that want to make money is that they may not actually make any money. The economic boom from the World Cup may not actually arrive as promised because of all the political chaos that's going on. The one thing I saw hotels are not booking up not as fast as that they thought they would.
Right.
Flights are being canceled. So some people from different countries had flights to come to the World Cup. They secured tickets, got flights, and then the flights are canceled because of the rising fuel costs because of the closing of the Strait of Hormuz. And all these decisions from this administration affect so many other aspects of not just the world, but then the economy as well. And so
I hope in the way, this is me trying to find a silver lining on the effects of that people not being able to come here for the World Cup, as many people as we're trying, like if flights are canceled or whatnot, or if it's too expensive, I'm hoping that means maybe there's like a young American child. That it's probably not going to work out that way, right? But I'm like Rembrandt painting in my head.
Right.
A young American child then gets a day of ticket really cheaply and gets inspired and decides to they want to play and they become the next America, the great American striker or the
wow.
next great American midfielder.
What a,
that's all I'm hoping. Like if I can find any
wacky,
if I can find any silver lining,
I want to see that movie. Inspiring story,
right?
Of a Malaysian child that cannot come here. He's
Malaysian American. No, I see your point.
Yeah, but his seat got taken by the next Christian Pulisic.
Right. Oh my God! Could you imagine?
No. We got a script here.
I think it's a great move. Big star, get on it. So to me, at the end of the day, it's like it's such a shame that when everyone else, like, you know, the last World Cup had a lot of negative stuff happening before it, right? There were a lot of conversations about, you know, human trafficking and whatnot. And people were saying they're boycotting it.
No, the and last one, didn't, was it human trafficking? I don't think it was.
Yeah, because they were keeping.
It was the abuse of the workers.
They were taking their passports. They were allegedly.
Does that count as human trafficking?
That's literally how you do it. That's how you
do it. I mean, it's bad. I know it's bad.
When you stop someone from being able to leave, it's, yeah.
Got it.
So,
okay.
And you know, a lot of people were boycotting it. And then when the game started, that took over. I hope that of all the negative things that are happening with this World Cup, that once the games start, there's something that happens where it uplifts us and we sort of forget some of the negatives because the effects of what this World Cup should mean for this youth, you know, the Gen Alpha that are watching this spectacle for the first time and hopefully they get a chance to go watch it live.
Yeah.
And like Clint Dempsey said, you know, you can't price out the working class. Hopefully there's kids that grew up like you and I did that get a chance to go to these games. My first ever professional match that I saw with my own eyes live was in the 1994 World Cup and it changed. It changed everything. I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for that. And the only reason I got to go is because it was affordable. It wasn't even affordable for me. I got a free ticket because it was a family that bought tickets and one of their sons had gotten sick and couldn't go to the game. And that's how I ended up getting it. My mother couldn't even afford the cheaper tickets back in 94. She wouldn't have been able to afford that. But because somehow something opened up that I got to go. Thank God that kid got sick. I don't know what he did.
Right.
Kissed a girl for the first time, you know, a goth chick spit in his mouth. I don't know what was going on back
then.
That's how you get it.
That's how you get diseases,
kids.
That's
what we would all sign up for, right? But whatever the case was, however that kid got sick, it allowed me to go. And look what happened. I'm here today in this room with you because of that. So hopefully there's some positives that open up from this. But the story of hotels not being filled up, where the hell has that ever happened? Where a World Cup is less than 2 months away and people haven't already got rooms, that tells me that these hotels might not get booked up unless something major changes where these games become a lot more affordable as we get closer to them.
To me, it's a massive fumbling of the bag, right? I mean, you have an opportunity to host the biggest sporting event in human history.
Yeah.
And you have an opportunity for not only for, yes, FIFA and people in high positions, yes, they can make their money, but this is a fantastic opportunity for the community itself to also benefit from that. And what I can only see as whether it's greed, whether it's selfishness, whether it's this lust for power, like all these decisions from this administration, and it's really Canada and Mexico are trying to like. We're trying our best. Like, why are you messing it up for us as well, right? So that's the frustrating aspect about it, because it's like, you know, you want to quote unquote separate sports and politics, and this World Cup completely highlights like it is impossible to do that. And what's frustrating to me is that Infantino had to do the FIFA shuffle. He had to do everything. Go to the Oval Office.
The peace prize.
Give him the did everything, and it's probably still going to be so chaotic, and it's still going to be and people are not going to make the money that they could. Fans are not going to be able to get to this country as they wanted to and stuff like that. So you did all that. And still, you kind of and this is the best you could sort of get. And like seeing the comments, the back and forth from Governor Mikey Sherrill from New Jersey and Infantino about the price of the New Jersey Transit tickets, which are seemingly going to be $150 to get into.
Also, did you know that there's only so many? Like, you have to like pre-register for them. What the hell?
Yeah, but seeing that back and forth just tells me like, oh man, like y'all can't even organize and figure this out yourselves. Like everybody's being like, all right, who's gonna foot the bill? And it's like, oh, it's gonna be transit riders that are coming in from New York into New Jersey, or even within New Jersey getting to the game.
I'm about to say one of the most, you know, late stage capitalist things I've ever said in my entire life. But isn't this a great opportunity for people who aren't official World Cup sponsors to step in? Like World Cup sponsor, what name? Marriott, right? Marriott is an official World Cup sponsor. What's another group? Starwood. I don't know if Starwood even still exists. I think it got broken up. But what is that? Hilton Honors, right? Hilton is another group. The train brought to you by Hilton. And now that price is...
I don't know if they might not be allowed to. Because FIFA has their exclusive sponsors.
But that's,
sponsors.
I think, for in-stadium. Getting the train can't be an official. What a great opportunity for, hey, you trying to take some crumbs? Right? You Coca-Cola, you got the World Cup. That's you, Papa. Yeah, yeah. But yo, you from Pepsi? Imagine RC Cola comes back for this.
Sure. I mean, that's not...
Arizona iced tea is like the perfect time, bro. You of the people. You for the people. It'll never go above 99 cents. They put it on. They print it on the can so you can't cover it. So you can't charge more at the bodega.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Arizona is of the people, bro. Dude, yo, pay for the trains, dog.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we're offering ideas at the very least. Yeah, it's all over.
I care more about young Americans, young Mexicans, young Canadians, and then folks coming in that are maybe don't have the means that others can, who saved up just to come to this World Cup. I want them to be able to go to this World Cup and have a good time. And it sucks that it's like every step of the way, they're being blocked from doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all it's all incredibly disappointing. I mean, and you know, when the World Cup was announced that it would be in US, Mexico, Canada, everybody's looking forward to it. Like, it's going to change our lives. It's going to give us the opportunity to do like really cool stuff. I mean, it's happening, right? Look, Wes McKennie's on the show.
Yeah.
They're going leading into this World Cup. I don't think
this is like a bunch of cool stuff you and I are going to announce.
Right.
Like, there's a bunch of really cool things happening. Like, there are cool things happening, but it's like, there's such a...
It's just like...
You just redid your deck, but it's raining. Every weekend it rains.
It's a little wet blanket kind of stuff. So, look, I think we all... I've said this before, but we all... Everybody, like, whether you're a fan, whether you're working in soccer, everybody's has to compartmentalize of, like, how do we handle this World Cup? Where do we show our excitement? How do we get people enthused about it? And it's like, we have to be real and realistic. Like, there are parts of it. It's like, I've never been to a World Cup before. I want to see a match and experience that. And I want to be able to bring my son to a game. I don't even think that's possible, right? I mean, I don't know if I can get a ticket. I don't know if it'll be too expensive. I don't know if I'll be working somewhere or whatever. Yeah. But even that kind of stuff, it's like when you look at the comment section of a lot of things, and even when Clint Dempsey was on, like what disappoints me the most is like the people that are like, hey, I wanted to go to a game, but as soon as it's like when I want to bring, you know, my wife and two kids, it's like I can go by myself. Yeah. But as soon as if I want to bring my family, now it gets to a place where
they got TVs, right? They can watch it.
It's astronomical.
No. But it's like, yeah, you can't though.
It's just story after story after story, and it's like, man, this shouldn't be the same thread through everyone's life where they just can't where it's not even realistic to be able to go. So, well, you know, at the very least. With what we do and with what we try to contribute is like, we'll try to find the silver lining and find some happy moments and positive things that come out of this World Cup. That
and Pep yet again is on the right side of history.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to...
And so are the cool.
Other than, you know, him managing Manchester City and ruining my life as an Arsenal fan. Other than that...
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, dude.
I'm absolutely honored to welcome our next guest. I did not expect him to be back this soon, but like we had such a great conversation, and it was honestly one of our most viewed episodes on YouTube. So shout out to the one and only, the man, the myth, Juventus star, USMNT star, the one and only Weston McKennie. Weston, what's good, man? How are you doing?
Not much. Just chilling. Dude.
Yeah, man. I mean, the you know, it was you had such a great time last time. You were like, I'm going to come back this time on behalf of Celsius. You're like, I need to talk to the Cooligans. But you did great last time. I'm glad this is, you know, I'm just want to let you know, this is your home base, bro. You're welcome back here anytime.
Thank you.
Okay. So real quick, the hard hitting stuff, especially since the last time we spoke. The U.S. men's national team had two friendlies, and you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. We did live episodes immediately after both games, and bro, give us some positive news, right? Because it was positive, just even feedback or analysis. Because we left those two matches being like, where are we exactly? But you scored in the first game, and it was your first goal in the wild for the men's national team. And so that we had a few bright moments. But you're looking back on those two games, how are you feeling now?
I mean, obviously it's normal for fans or for media or for whatever to question or to feel that way. But ultimately, being in the camp and being around the guys and around everyone, the just the environment itself, I think internally, I don't think we're really that worried, to be fair, because those two games for us, whenever you look at, if you want to take positives away from it, if you look at the first 25, 30, 35 minutes, or even first half in general of the games, I think it was a good sign for us to show, like, okay, we can definitely hang with these guys. And even in some parts of the first half, we dominated the game. But I think we just obviously made some mistakes and some tactical mistakes as well. And positioning wise and being out of position sometimes, and teams like that punish you for those. And that's what happened. But I think the best thing that we took away from it was that we can keep up with them. We just got to figure out a way to hold that same energy level throughout the whole thing, or in those 30, 40 minutes that we, you know, dominate the game, because we play at such a high energy game that we capitalize on those moments and then maintain the rest of the game out. But ultimately, I think we're heading in the right direction. Of course, obviously, the results, I don't think, reflected the way that we felt or the way that we felt we played. But at the end of the day, the results is what people see at the end of it all. And that's what ultimately counts at the end of the day as well.
And when it comes to going back to those two friendlies, you know, you play these two top FIFA ranked teams in the span of just like 4 days. What's a specific thing that you learned from those matches, and then something that you wish you could have done better?
What I wish I could have done better, honestly, is probably score the first opportunity I had against Belgium, and ultimately, I think. When you analyze those games, it's like I said previously, it's something that you look back and you're like, shit, like if you watch yourself individually, you know, for every player that's on the team, and you watch yourself individually, and you're like, man, I maybe could have been in that position better to help out, you know, this person, or why didn't I go out and press that ball instead of staying back and allowing them to just play or something. And there's a lot of things that you can analyze if you want to be really, really picky as well. And so, for me, I would say, there's some moments in the game where I feel like I could have, you know, done a little bit better in the first game with helping out, you know, Tim to defend Doku and whatnot, and pressing a ball on one of their goals. And then there's also in the Portugal game, been cleaner with a couple of my touches at the end of the day, because one of the goals started from one of the passes that I tried to give, and like I said, those type of teams, they punish you for it.
Yeah. I mean, we had the last time you were on, we talked about like comparing like the results in friendlies versus the performances, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to detach the results, but one of the things that and just bringing it back to Pochettino, he had mentioned in a statement a while ago where he was talking about you at Juve, and he said that it is he described Juve as McKennie plus 10 others. I mean, with all due respect to the rest of your teammates, that's a really nice compliment. But when you hear that from your national team head coach, how does that help you in return to, you know, your performances with the national team?
No, I mean, obviously it's always nice whenever you have you know, people that have a high role in practically your career, give you praise and give you compliments, and it ultimately gives you confidence as well. It was a amazing comment to hear. Like for me, ultimately, yeah. I'm here at Juventus, and the success that I've been having here at Juventus wouldn't be possible without the rest of the guys on the team and the staff and the coach and everything. So, but it was ultimately, it was really nice to hear it.
Okay. I mean, that's what, I mean, you know, a lot of times people are always asked like, oh, I don't know where I stand with the coach. There's no better standing with the coach than hearing that for sure. So shout out to Parch. I want to talk real quick, because you are here on behalf of Celsius. I'm curious about how you incorporate Celsius. I mean, Celsius is at least for me, is a brand I definitely see a lot of my friends drinking. I've had maybe one or two in my life, but I always see it's definitely like the energy part of it that I always hear people sort of talking about. But how do you incorporate it into your routine and your training regimen?
No, I mean, ultimately, like you said, it's a very beneficial thing towards energy as well. I mean, literally whenever I told my family members about us partnering together and working together, like wait, really? Can you send me some packs? Can you send me some over?
They always want it's Celsius and World Cup tickets. I know that those are the two texts you're getting, bro.
Yeah. So I mean, ultimately, no, it's very beneficial. It's something that I enjoy drinking. Ultimately, I've had definitely more than two or three like you, but hey, yeah, yeah, definitely helps. Okay. Out for sure.
Awesome, man. Now, I'm curious about, I mentioned the World Cup. You played obviously in the World Cup in 2022. We got a home World Cup in 2026. What is something that you're doing differently going into this World Cup that you learned from your first one?
I think just the experience of playing in the World Cup and the games that we played in Qatar, it's eye-opening just because it's like, yeah, you play these teams before and, you know, we've played against Paraguay, we've played against Australia, and we've played against Turkey, but at the end of the day, the World Cup's a different monster. Everyone is laying their life down on the line to get results. And so maybe the team you may have played 1-2 months ago, and then you have to play them again in the World Cup, they could be a completely different team or a different energy or a different, everything's on the line for it. And I feel like that's something that you learn and realize from playing in one already is that anything can happen, and you have to, you know, expect the best out of everyone, and everyone's literally going to be going, you know, balls to the wall to get results, and at the end of the day, the results are what matters.
Yeah. When you say that, and you play teams a couple months ago, and they could be a different beast at the World Cup, do you think that's the same, either the same mentality or even the same possibility for the U.S.? Like, should we even as fans be like, yeah, well, we might slip up. Maybe some of the results in the friendlies aren't what we want them to be, but we're going to be absolute maniacs to win every ball, to win aerial duels, to be that, to bring that intensity. Do you see that and expect that as a possibility for the U.S. men's national team as well?
I mean, at the end of the day, whenever you, as a team, and whenever you're going into a competition like that, of course, everything is going to be a little bit more heightened, and all the senses, all the maybe the efforts even and stuff, just because it's that moment. Like you're never going to get that moment back, and you have a whole country. You're playing at home. You have a whole country behind you. You have all your friends, your families, everyone's there. You know, people that may have never watched the sport are going to be there as well. And I think for us, I hope the next two friendlies that we do play will be better results. Cause obviously ultimately it gives us more confidence going into it, but I don't think we're worried that much about if we're going to perform or not. I think we'll perform. And I think, you know, as long as we go in there and, you know, firing on all cylinders and giving the best we can from each individual, and then as a team, I think the results will follow.
Okay. When I forgot to ask this before, but when we were talking about the game against Belgium, it was an interesting game given, you know, I was thinking about, we were talking about even before the game, like the lineup and who would face who, and the matchup against Jeremy Doku. I don't know how many times you've played against him, but that dude is unbelievably fast, unbelievably like tricky. What were the conversations like before the game and after? Because there has to be a little bit of like, even where I had to be like, yo, I need a little bit of help. Like, yeah, it can't just be me out there. So what, how do you prepare and how do you even analyze after playing a player like that?
I mean, I think we all know and we've all, I think most of us, I mean, Tim has, I think, played against him as well. We all know what his abilities are, and sometimes, you know, it's one of those players that you may know his next move and you may know what he's gonna do, but it's still very hard to stop it. and ultimately, in those type of situations, you want to try and get as many people obviously not taking 11 players and stacking them on them, but all the help that you can, you know, offer your teammate that may be having to defend them or whatever, the less time that you can have them on the ball, the better, you know, and just players like that in general that are talented in 1v1s and tricky players and unpredictable. I mean, he gives you a head bobble and you don't know where he's going to go. It was even difficult for me, even whenever I was trying to help out Tim to go over there and just try and read what he's going to do. But he's a talented player, and obviously that's why he's where he is and doing what he's doing and at the highest level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like I said in the last time you were on, we're always supporting Weston McKennie. It's a constant Weston McKennie Glaze Fest. We are, you know, in our eyes, you can do no wrong. But we're obviously looking forward to the rest of the season and going into the World Cup. The last question I have for you is about just the rest of the season with your club. Juve's sitting in fourth, obviously 2 points ahead, trying to fight to maintain that Champions League spot. What do you have? I mean, you scored also recently for your club, but what are you sort of looking forward to in the last few months of the season? Like, how do you balance the pressure of that last few months of the season and, you know, a World Cup right on the horizon?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately just trying to stay healthy. I think trying to stay healthy, stay as fresh as possible for each game, because every single game the rest of the season is like a final, and it's like a championship game, you know?
Yeah.
And Juventus is a team that we want to be, obviously, and want to be in Champions League. That's like the bare minimum expectations that we have for ourselves. And yeah, like you said, we're 2 points ahead right now, and our next game is at Bologna this weekend, and they're a tough team, but at the end of the day, we are Juventus, and these are the situations that we should be able to come out of and be successful in as well. So. Yeah, I think for me, just finish the season strong, finish the season healthy. And I think obviously with the pressures that we may have here with Juventus, it's just right timing, because it's already building, getting me comfortable being in pressure going into the World Cup as well. So if I'm there, so yeah.
All right. I mean, I'm optimistic that you will be there. I don't think it's going to be a selection issue, but obviously best of luck. I mean, continued health and success for the rest of the season. Shout out to Celsius. And thank you, Weston McKennie, for coming through. I just want to just give a shout out. I'm wearing your old club, Schalke. I know Dortmund fans are going to be quite upset with me because we have a lot of Dortmund fans of the show as well. But weirdly enough, you autographed this shirt, and I forgot that I had this autographed shirt from you. We had done work with Schalke years ago while you were there. And so I can say formally, thank you so much for the signed Schalke shirt. It has your name on it as well, just like the last Juve shirt.
I would hope so.
No doubt. Weston McKennie, thank you so much for joining us. Like I said before, you're welcome back anytime. And continued success for the rest of the season. Cheers, brother.
Appreciate it.
Four clubs remaining in Champions League: PSG, Bayern, Atletico, and Arsenal. Any of their fan bases would love to win this tournament. But we got to ask the question, which fan base would appreciate winning the Champions League more?
Arsenal.
Arsenal fan.
It's Arsenal. Arsenal all day. Arsenal. I, as an Arsenal fan, to have been cheated out of the last time you were in the final.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says. You could write whatever you want in the comments. to have been cheated out of that, and for the way the season seems to be heading, you know, where you were in the
victory?
Yeah, hopefully. It doesn't feel like it. I'll tell you that. It feels very skittish is a term I want to use.
Okay.
For it to be heading in that way, to have never been, European champion. I know Atletico hasn't either. I think it would mean so much to the Arsenal fans that have finished second 4 out of the last 4 years. Five? Is it 5 years now?
Mm-hmm.
God, jeez. All right. Nonetheless, I can't do this. I can't do this again.
I mean, there
I
is,
can't do it again.
There's a little bit of I think for non-Arsenal fans, there's a little bit of pleasure
right.
in seeing Arsenal fans come very close and not be able to do it. Right. But in as far as
who, PSG just won it.
PSG just won it. So
PSG,
just won it. If you were, we were having this.
You're still getting over the hangover.
365 days ago, yeah. I'd be like, probably PSG.
Probably.
right.
Bayern Munich, another parade? You know what I mean? How many do you need?
It went quite a bit.
They won the league 11 years in a row.
Right. I think, so I would just probably say Atletico fans, because Atletico have a similar kind of experience. As Arsenal does, obviously they won a title fairly recently.
I can also make the point that this feels like something for the tenure that Diego Simeone has had,
yeah.
the longest tenured manager of a single club, for the club to basically now be of his ethos, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, and exude, you know, what the fans just pulling for this man to win this trophy. I can understand Atletico Madrid fans, and I can understand neutral saying Diego Simeone probably deserves this trophy in his trophy closet. I could understand that, but I'm going to not listen to that because as an Arsenal fan, this feels like something that, you know, hearing the City fans chant in Tampa at the NBC Premier League Fan Fest,
yeah.
the champions of Europe, you'll never sing that. I would love to be able to sing.
I want
to call back every one of those. I want to dial, and I want to leave a voice note. You know what I mean? On everyone. You know what I mean?
Just singing the Champions yeah, of Europe song.
Yeah. we are the champions! Just, you know what I mean?
Man, you got that much data yeah. on your phone, dog?
Everybody getting a voice note.
No, man. So it was funny because when we were hosting the Fan Fest, I had asked the crowd, I'm like, what would be if Arsenal lose the Premier League but win the Champions League, we're like, would that be all right? And there was a weird line,
I think it's hard for Arsenal fans to say that because it almost feels to fans of any club in the Premier League, especially if you're one of the big six, because if you ask an Everton fan, you're like, yeah, a trophy, any yeah, trophy, yeah, 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 yeah.
A picture
matter.
Of one, a picture yeah, of a trophy. Yeah, 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 let yeah. us look at it.
Can we win a trivia night at a bar, you know? But right?
Are we in within 300 feet of a trophy? I want
to
be there.
Right? Like, I think when we went to Goodison Park, they had the, was it 85 or 86?
Yeah, the FA Cup.
FA Cup. That's the last time y'all really won something mm-hmm. of major note. So I think if you ask one of the top six, winning the Premier League almost feels more important than winning Champions League, which is crazy. Because to me, winning Champions League is the ultimate prize. So I would be okay. I would be upset we didn't win the Premier League. And I'd have a lot of questions as to how that collapse happened.
Right.
But I would cushion that with the idea that we've won. We're the European champion.
Realistically, the Premier League is less, or not less prestigious or less important, but like it's less of a big deal when you've won it a bunch of times and you have not won the Champions League, right? You have a new thing to kind of
yeah.
Pursue.
But not having won the Premier League in 20-something years, 23, right. 24 years at this point, two and a half decades is a long time to go without winning it if you're Arsenal. And this, to feel like you've gotten so close.
I mean,
can we be bridesmaids again?
It would be. I mean, but I'm just envisioning like Diego Simeone and Atletico winning Griezmann's last year. And they say they do win the Champions League. It's also a really great story. And I think their fans would very much. So these are the top two. Arsenal would.
It's like watching a superhero film and you're like related to one of the henchmen. You know, you're like, yeah, I'm glad.
Right.
I'm glad the good guy won. But yo, why you got to do Steve like that?
It's credit to Atletico because, you know, they obviously share the same city as Real Madrid, and you see the plot. It's the money, the trophies that end up going to Real Madrid.
Atletico got money though.
I don't think they got money, but
this isn't Rayo Vallecano.
No,
winning.
I know that. I'm just saying, but like it's not, I'm not saying it's necessarily night and day between the two, but it's like the ethos of Atletico the last in Simeone's tenure for sure. Is of stability. It is of a trajectory of like, this is how we do things.
They also spent a ton of money. They went out and got Julian Alvarez. They got Sorloth, two strikers.
Right.
You know, I think Julian Alvarez was, if I'm not mistaken, that broke their record for transfer. You know, they've got Griezmann, like you said, in his last year, he deserves to win something like this.
Yeah, yeah. Again. So it would be cool. I mean, so just real quick, I mean, the Tuesday is the PSG Bayern.
Nobody mentioned Bayern.
Right. But the this should be a good game, which also kind of feels like this could be a final. This would be an entertaining final if we had it. But
I think anytime PSG plays another major club like this, not, you know, something outside of Ligue 1 or one of their big rivalries, I think it's always a you must tune in.
Right, right. And obviously people are going to be, you know, Harry Kane is doing his thing, but a lot of people are going to be focused on Michael Olise. He has been absolutely fantastic this season. Did you see that? What was it? Musiala was trying to take a selfie with him. And
he kept throwing the middle fingers. Black. He's like a very like nonchalant.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I don't want to do all this. Yeah.
He's the opposite of whatever Memphis Depay is. You know what I mean? So, Memphis Depay is very chalant. But yeah, Olise just doesn't want that fanfare for some reason.
But four goals and eight assists in Champions League. It's pretty remarkable. They credit to him.
Did you hear what Rumenage, I believe he's the sporting director, if I'm not mistaken, or the president of Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. I always forget titles, but he said
I'm pretty sure that's not how you pronounce his name, but I think you're butchering it, but
you think so?
I think so.
Then why don't you give it a try and let's both butcher it?
No, because it's gonna sound like a slur if I say it. but I think that's how it's said.
Okay, well, sure, but whatever. He said that even if they were offered 200 million euros, mm-hmm. they won't take it because the last big transfer they had was Frank Ribery. Am I saying that correctly, Christian?
Yes,
more like Frank Robbery, am I right? Frank Ribery was, and they'll never sell a player, regardless of the price, if they would miss him on the pitch. Mm. Which is like, even if that's not true, even if that's BS to try to get more money for Olise, it's what a nice vote of confidence that's got to be for a player to hear, like, they won't sell you for regardless of how much because they'd miss you too much on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta speak nicely about your players because you don't want to deflate their transfer value.
Of course not.
It's 250, then we're talking. That's basically it.
Who's paying $250 million?
Yeah, that's also wild. But PSG and Bayern are both, they're both tied with most goals scored. Right. And they've both had the Bayern game against Real Madrid was so insane. But the fact that they were able to pull through, I think, says a lot. Who are your favorites there, PSG or Bayern?
I would say I really like the tactics that Vincent Kompany uses. Mm-hmm. I really love what he's doing, and he feels like an advancement on what sort of he learned under Pep. And then you have Luis Enrique, who I think is so good at figuring out what the other team is going to do and finding ways to correct it. So it's really difficult for me to say, like, this one player or this one system is going to override the other. But I have so much belief in players like Vitinha and, you know, players like Dembele. And there's something about the way Luis Enrique is able to figure out other managers. I don't know if it's going to work. I'm not 100% sure it's going to work. Yeah. But if I had to put money on one, I'd put it on PSG, even though it feels like Vincent Kompany will figure it out.
I'm going to go with Bayern here because I think they're probably going to maintain a fair amount of possession. But then the only concern I have here is Vincent Kompany is suspended for the first leg because of yellow card accumulate or descent. Or he picked up too many.
Again, the dumbest rule in all of football.
I don't know
why yellow card accumulation even exists. Why does it exist for your manager?
Yeah, it should. I don't know.
It's so dumb, it's dude. Can we move beyond this?
But I over the two legs, I think Bayern is a little bit better than PSG. If PSG gets to the final, I think they win the whole thing. If they can get there again, I think it shows the mentality between them.
I can say that about any four of these clubs.
Okay, that's fair. And then Arsenal and Atletico. The only thing here, Arsenal are unbeaten in every single game, which is, you would think, they should be easily favorites.
They are still the favorites. We have the option.
They are favorites. I'm just saying. But
No.
You would think Arsenal fans wouldn't have.
Look at the stats, baby. Arsenal right now. And by the way, stop the count. Let's just do it from this.
You would think the Arsenal confidence would be higher.
In first at 35.74. Bayern Munich in second place with 34.85.
Yeah.
And by the way, Arsenal have beaten Bayern Munich.
That's right. So I think between these two, it's just like it is. It better be low scoring. Otherwise, we don't know anything about football.
Because well, also, it can't go any other way. If you're an Arsenal fan.
Both of these teams are weird, like mirror images of each other, kind of. But weirdly, Atletico has given up lots of goals in Champions League this season. So, you would have to
Over the last like 2 to 3 seasons, Diego Simeone seems to have shifted from a much more, you know, sort of Jose Mourinho style, park the bus kind of defensive style to trying to be much more adventurous and much more progressive and much more high scoring. So hopefully that works in Arsenal's favor, which have found a way to, over the 4 phases of the game, try to control the whole game. And they've done it very successfully. The one where they seem to be failing at is scoring. So if they go up against a team that leaks a little bit of goals, it seems maybe this will help, especially because no one plays them in a low block in Champions League. And I don't think Atletico Madrid is going to come out and try to do that. Yeah. So if they're open, if they're willing to open up a little bit, that's going to leave a lot more space for Mikel Arteta's system to shine.
I think in almost every phase of the game, I think Arsenal has a better back line. I think they have a better midfield. I think
attack is where
it's like, Alvarez and Sorloth, I think are better options.
Right. But maybe Gabriel and Saliba neutral.
Right. Right. But then,
and David Raya.
Right, but I think Oblak is a better goalkeeper, but just a little bit. But Arsenal should win this. I'd be very shocked if they do not. But I think over both legs, I think it's probably gonna 2-1, 3-1. Like I think it's gonna be very very close. And that's the last. I predict that the last 10 minutes of that second leg are going to be pretty nervy and Arsenal trying to just like hold on and not go into extra time.
I think the last 10 minutes of every match from here on out is going to be pretty nervy for Arsenal.
That's new, that game against Newcastle.
Every time
crazy.
I hear Atletico Madrid's goalkeeper's name, I think like, yo, rest in peace, King Vaughn. You know what I mean?
Every time. I mean, that's why I have this tattoo, bro.
Imagine he had one, though. That would have been crazy. We should have prepared that.
We all think about Oblak.
Yeah, that's his name, bro.
Anyway, okay. The two matches are this week and on Thursday.
Simeone loves Sosa. We'll give
some a recap on Thursday of the Champions League semifinals. All right, that's a wrap. Shout out to Weston McKennie coming back to the show. Even when as soon as he got on the call, I was like, "You're back here, bro. You must have such a great time."
What happened?
He was like, "Bro, this is the only show I want to do.
Yet another beverage in my hand."
My man, he is just tossing out drinks everywhere. Yeah,
bro, he got sponsorship. We got sponsorship.
No, but shout out to Weston. I think it says a lot that he has. You know, I'm sure he has tons of requests of all these shows that he could probably do. And he's like, oh, the cool thing. When our name is on the list, he's like, yeah, I want to do that one.
Give me them boys.
So shout out to him. It's going to be awesome, obviously, to see.
Thank you for handling that while I was in the bathroom. That was really cool of you.
Yeah. It was just a long. Yeah. You were like, I was asking, Weston, can you reschedule it?
I was fighting for my life.
I was like, no, I am stuck on this toilet. There's
I tried to make my own Doritos Locos taco.
always an honor, and be on the lookout because we have a bunch of other really awesome, especially USMNT names that are going to be playing in this World Cup.
They're going to be on the show.
Stay locked in to the Cooligans.
That's right.
We got some legends.
We got some current players. We got a lot of people, bro.
Everybody's coming through.
Yo, somebody book us someone from the Uzbekistani team, bro.
What are they waiting for, bro? They want the publicity?
Talk to us, bro. The World Cup's going to be here.
You're going to talk to just some Uzbeki comedians? Right? Come on,
nah,
bro.
Dog. Are they even allowed to exist?
I don't know.
We got a Google hat.
I don't know your rules and laws.
I'm willing to learn.
So,
on this show, dog.
Be on the lookout. As always, make sure you hit like and subscribe on this video if you have not yet, or if you're listening to this, head over, watch on YouTube.
On the Clint Dempsey interview, we got a lot of hypes. We got 6 hypes.
Wow.
Yo, hit us with them hypes, dog. If you're listening right now, if you have a YouTube account, you don't use it, click on this video and immediately click on the hype button.
I can't even find this hype button.
No, dog.
Do I not have access to the hype button?
Most men can't find the hype button.
That is the issue.
But you ask a woman, she'll show you where it is.
Okay. That's my problem, okay? No one taught me.
But it's a little different. This one, you just have to click once.
Okay, much less complicated.
Yeah, all right. Very. very much like complicated.
As always, thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, share this podcast with your friends, especially this Weston McKinney
episode. Tell your mother about this podcast. Wash your ass.
Was that a what out of like, no, you're not supposed to? What was it?
How dare you?
You reject the concept? Yeah. Producer Carter, come on, bro.
Producer Carter and people listening, wash your ass.
And feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. All right, we'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. Do we have a guest that day? I don't know if we do. Do we? I never remember.
They'll find out when they click on the button.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to be, people are wondering.
No one's going to think like, oh, I better wait here for the 3 days.
There might be somebody. Who knows?
I hope not.
All right. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.